your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS, More Compelling Talk Radio. Hey, send us some feedback. Our email address, ccrecap@gmail.com. Well, a new University of Michigan study is finding that young adults are more dependent than ever on their parents and that the amount of support they receive has a lot to do with their attitudes. To talk about his research, I'm joined by Patrick Whiteman, a postdoctoral fellow at the U of M National Poverty Center. Patrick, thank you for coming on the program this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So your study finds that more than 60% of young adults between the ages of 19 and 22 are now getting financial help from their parents. Is there any comparison to previous studies of this kind?
Not using these direct kind of numbers, but from another study, we do have very strong evidence that as a share of total income, parental support for young adults has risen substantially over the last 20 or 30 years.
Were you focusing on college students or young adults in general?
That's looking at young adults in general, from high school graduation up to age 25.
And how much support are these young people getting from their parents?
The way that question is specifically worded is, do you get a lot to none at all? And what what we see is the proportion of young adults who are saying that they are getting a lot has risen. That's where the increase is coming from.
I see, a lot to none at all. Is there any kind of figure, an average amount of money that these young adults are getting from their parents?
Well, for the most current brand of respondents, now this is something we can tie in with this, with the current study that I am that I'm the author on. It's about $12,000.
A year. They're getting $12,000 a year, and that can vary in what, cash payments or supporting through paying rent in other ways?
We look at direct cash transfers and then in-kind help in the form of paying rent, bills, help with vehicles, loans, and tuition.
I mean, is the majority of that non-cash? I can't imagine parents are just handing over big wads of money to their kids.
That's correct. The majority of it is in-kind assistance.
Now, you know, what's fascinating about your study is that you looked at the childhood characteristics of these young adults and the impact it had on the likelihood that parents would actually provide them with financial help. What exactly did you find there?
Well, the really interesting finding there is when we look at, we have this category of help that specifically looks at assistance in the form of a gift or a loan. Now, what makes this interesting is that compared to all the other categories of assistance that we look at, this is discretionary on the part of the parents, or it's extra or additional support on top of that that supports college going. Within families, parents who describe one sibling as being more outgoing or more self-reliant or more positive as a child, that sibling is more likely to get help specifically in this category of discretionary or additional help as a young adult.
I'm talking to Patrick Whiteman, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Michigan National Poverty Center. Now, Patrick, from what I could tell, the 11% said they received loans from their parents. The average was a little over $2,000. Nearly 7% said they received financial gifts. That amount averaged over $8,000. Are we clearly then talking about different sets of parents here? Or?
Yes. That's correct.
So, well, I mean, obviously, a very generous financial gift there, over $8,000 in a year. Now, did you actually break down socioeconomic factors here? Were you able to get a sense of how that impacted the type of help parents are able to provide?
Yeah, we are. So what we do is just basically look at high and low income families. What we find is that, you know, the categories, the rate of assistance is obviously much lower for poor families, but when we compare across categories, they order essentially in the same way.
I see. The amounts are a little less than
obviously. The amounts are less, and the rates of receipt are less. But the only difference is that high income families are more likely to be helping their kids with a tuition. That's the most common form. Just a couple of percentage points below that is bills, and that's the same as it is for families from low income.
Now, when it comes to what happens, let's say, after college, is there, what did your study find about living conditions? Are college kids getting out of school and finding their own place?
You know, that's one of the questions that we hope to be able to answer with this study. It's ongoing. We're looking at college students with this report because that's where these kids are right now. As I said, as they get older, we'll continue to follow them and see how this pattern, this parent-child financial relationship affects their outcomes after they get out of school, which I think will be the more interesting question.
Now, did the study, though, come up with a number that about 65% of young adults lived at home for a significant portion of every year? Did that kind of indicate that they basically were homebound after college?
After high school, that's definitely the case. But these kids are still mostly in college.
Now, I mean, some of this information seems not surprising at all. Obviously,
sure.
We know the job market is difficult for young people. Was there anything particularly surprising to you as you went through the numbers?
Yeah, the finding that I described to you earlier that this parental preference was as distinctive as it was. That's not something we were expecting to find.
Now, how do you get that kind of information? Because I'm having a hard time imagining parents are openly saying in any survey that yes, I like my child, this child, a little more. They're friendlier towards me, so I give them more money.
Sure, that's a good question. So these young adults that make up the core of our study, they actually started out as part of a broader study conducted by the University of Michigan, beginning in 1997. So when they were between the ages of roughly between 0 and 12, and at this time, parents were asked to either agree or disagree with a series of statements like my child is cheerful, or my child is outgoing, gets along well with others, is self-reliant. And then they basically scored the strength of the parents' agreement with these statements, and then used them, these answers, these scores, to create a scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you get are, you know, parents are answering the same questions for both siblings. But then when we take the averages of these scales, we're able to use their responses to get a sense of if one child is rated higher in this particular area than another.
Well, I guess it also could come into play the idea that a child that is more connected wouldn't be eternally reliant on their parents, and would hopefully it would be a temporary setup.
Yeah, that's in economics, it's typically, there's this question about whether parents are funneling their resources towards their children, whether that's characterized more, whether that's motivated more by their desire to invest in the child whom they perceive is going to be the more productive, or if they're motivated by a desire to help the child who they perceive as maybe being at a disadvantage.
I see, and it's the former is the one, huh?
Yeah. So this particular finding is evidence of the former interpretation.
Well, certainly one thing to keep in mind when you're looking ahead to your future as a young person: be nice to your parents. It might pay off down the line. Patrick Whiteman, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Michigan National Poverty Center. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for your interest. Really appreciate it.
We are coming right back to wrap things up. I'm Michael Cohen. and you are listening to More Compelling Talk Radio. This is 1320 WILS.